freedom is not free. We hear that a lot this time of year around Memorial Day. In fact, those words are engraved into one wall of the Korean War Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. Now, the origin of that phrase is credited to Colonel Walter Hitchcock, who is a retired Air Force colonel, in that he states that the freedoms that are enjoyed by the citizens of our nation are possible only through the sacrifices made by the men and women of our military. Another retired soldier, Commander Kelly Strong of the Coast Guard, expressed his thoughts in a poem entitled, "No, Freedom Isn't Free." I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. With hair cut square and eyes alert, he'd stand out in any crowd. I thought how many men like him had fallen through the years, how many died on foreign soil, how many mothers' tears, how many pilots' planes shot down, how many died at sea, how many foxholes were soldiers' graves. No, freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times that taps had meant amen when a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children, of the mothers and the wives, of fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves at Arlington. No, freedom isn't free. Now, what is true about the freedom we enjoy as Americans can also be said about the liberty we enjoy as Christians. Our freedom is not free. This morning, I'd like to consider three simple statements regarding the freedom that we enjoy as Christians, that Christ offers to us, and what that freedom costs. We're going to discover that freedom is not free. It's not even cheap. First of all, our freedom cost Jesus everything. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus said of himself, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, that word ransom meant pretty much the same thing then as it does today. To ransom something is to pay a price, to redeem it, to secure its freedom. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 7:23, "You were bought with a price." You say, well, what was that price that was paid for the ransom? Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 20, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed or ransomed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Peter here says that the price paid for our freedom was the blood of Christ. Now, when he refers to the blood of Christ, he's talking about the outward evidence of Jesus' life blood that was poured out. You see a lot in the scriptures, it talks about the blood, how sin is cleansed by the blood. The blood symbolized life, and when blood was poured out, the life was given. It was sacrificed. Jesus paid for our liberty with the ultimate sacrifice, his own life. In the words of the old hymn, "Nor silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption, nor riches of earth could have saved my poor soul. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior now maketh me whole. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. You know, Peter also used that word precious when he talked about Jesus' blood. It comes from a Greek word that means costly, highly esteemed, or held in honor. And that's really what this Memorial Day weekend is all about, isn't it? We honor those who have served our country, those who have laid down their lives for our nation. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Even as those brave men and women who laid down their lives for their country, Jesus laid down his life for us. And then later, also in John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Memorial Day is all about remembering. Remembering what our freedom has cost others. We can also do that today by remembering what our inheritance cost our Savior. For most of us, though, Memorial Day is about what our freedom cost somebody else. And we do take time and we do appreciate what others have done for us. But in the spiritual realm, our freedom not only costs Jesus everything, it also costs us everything. Now, that's not to say that we can purchase our salvation or somehow we can earn it. Jesus has done all of that. In the words of another familiar old hymn, Jesus paid it all. But the very next line says, all to Him I owe. There is a price tag that comes with our freedom. And while Jesus paid that price we could never pay ourselves, He expects His followers to pay a different kind of price. In Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What can man give in exchange for his soul? See, what he's saying is, if you want to be a part of my kingdom, you must surrender yourself. There must be a willingness to lose yourself. I know a lot of people today say, I want to find myself. That's a big thing for young people. I'm going to go out and find myself. Jesus said you need to lose yourself. Then you'll find yourself. There is a willingness to die. Take up your cross. And that was an instrument of death. That only meant one thing in those days. You were going to die. Jesus says it's going to cost you everything. Sometimes it was leaving behind possessions. Remember the rich young man that came to Jesus and said, I want to follow you. Jesus said, okay, sell all you have and come follow me. He couldn't do it because it meant too much. Others, it meant leaving family and friends. Jesus went to his disciples and said, hey, come follow me. And they left their careers, they left their jobs, they left their homes, they left their families and followed Jesus. They were willing to pay that price. Later on, it would mean for some the price of their very life, where they would be asked to either renounce their faith in Jesus or die. And they chose death. That's a high price. But it is the price of being a part of Jesus' kingdom. It always means a renunciation of self. And this is why Jesus told his followers, count the cost. There is a cost involved. Unfortunately, too many churches today want to say that it's easy to be a Christian. Come as you are. and stay that way. You can come to Jesus and have your sins forgiven and go out and live however you want. Is that what Jesus said? Is that what you read in the Bible? That you can just live any way you want? No. Jesus said, follow me. It's a matter of obedience. It's a matter of becoming like Him. And that freedom that we have as Christians comes at a high price. It costs Jesus everything. It costs us everything. Jesus said in Luke 14:33, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. You don't hear that on TV today, do you? Oh no. Come to Jesus and he'll give you everything you want. Really? Jesus says you've got to be willing to leave it all. John Stott writes, this claim on our total allegiance is one which we need to face squarely today. Jesus never encouraged half-hearted discipleship. He asked for all or nothing. And in asking for all, he did not ask more than he was prepared to give himself. He asked a cross for a cross and a life for a life. There are two very short parables that Jesus taught that illustrates this point. They're found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he found a pearl of great value, he went away and sold everything he had to buy that pearl. Both of these parables make the same point. A person who understands the priceless riches of the kingdom will gladly yield everything else in order to obtain it. Now, of course, the opposite is also true. Those who find the things of earth to be too valuable that they won't give up, they miss the kingdom. If you think that your life is too great the way it is, I'm not going to let God or anybody else tell me what to do. Forget about the kingdom. If you're going to be a soldier in the military, what's one of the first things you learn in boot camp? How to follow directions. If you don't learn that lesson, you're not going to be a soldier very long, are you? And when you enlist in the army of God, you better learn how to follow directions. You're not going to last in that army either. We're going to be a part of His kingdom. It has to be worth everything to us. And when it comes to Christ's kingdom, no cost is too great. The sacrifice of everything is not too much because of what God offers to us. And you know, this sense that our freedom costs us everything, it doesn't end when we initially come to Christ. We tend to think of that as our salvation. Somebody comes to God for the first time, they've got to be ready to walk away from their old way of life and all that. But throughout our lives, we are reminded. Those words in 1 Corinthians again, you are not your own, you've been bought with a price. Jesus says, I own you. I paid for you. I have the right to tell you how to live. I have the right to expect obedience. To expect respect. He has earned that because He has paid the price. Romans 6:6 states, for we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And that's ongoing through our lives. John MacArthur notes, eternal life is indeed a free gift. Salvation cannot be earned with good deeds or secured with money. It's already been purchased by Christ, who paid the ransom in His blood. He has secured full atonement for all who believe. There's nothing left to pay, no possibility that our own works can be meritorious. But that does not mean that there is no cost in terms of salvation's impact on the sinner's life. Salvation is both free and costly. That is what Jesus meant when He spoke of taking up one's cross to follow Him. He was calling for an exchange of all that we are for all that He is. He was demanding unconditional surrender to Him. Our freedom costs Jesus everything, but our freedom costs us everything. That's not to say, though, that we're left with nothing. Oh, no. Quite the contrary. The truth is, our freedom in Christ gives us everything. Paul wrote in Romans 8, verses 31 and 32, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things?" Paul is saying, if Jesus went so far as sending His Son to die on a cross for us, you think He's going to skimp out now? You think He's just going to save us and then have us eke out an existence here on earth? No. God has promised us everything we need to know Him and to follow Him and to live life the way He intended it. James adds in James 1:17, "Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from our Father." Everything we enjoy comes from the hand of God. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full." That you might have it abundantly. And He's not just talking about someday in heaven. He's talking about right now. And how different this is from the popular conception of Christianity. You go outside a church and you talk to people on the street. What do you think of Christians or what do you think of Christianity? You know what they're going to tell you? It means you have no fun. It means you have no friends. You have no fulfillment. It's a drab, boring existence where you go to church and you be holy. Isn't that what most people think of Christians? That is devoid of anything enjoyable. And yet Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life, that you might live it to the fullest." But our culture sees us as social lepers. They only see Christianity in terms of what they give up and not in what they gain. I want to go back to those two short parables that Jesus taught earlier. The man who found a treasure in a field, man who found the pearl of great price. What both of them do? They went out and sold everything they had and then took that money and bought the treasure or the pearl. People think, wow. That's pretty extreme, isn't it? And can you imagine today going home, selling your house, having this huge rummage sale and selling everything that you own? Your car, cars, everything. And then you take all of the money that you gained with that sale. You're left with nothing except the proceeds of that sale. You go and buy one thing. People tell you you're nuts. Unless that one thing was worth more than all the stuff that you owned before. Then it would be a good investment. But I want you to notice, those guys that sold everything that they had to buy that treasure or that pearl, they didn't do it mournfully. They didn't go around moping saying, "Oh, I've left everything. I've sold it all." No, it says that with joy joy. They sold everything they had. They couldn't wait to get rid of all the stuff so that they could have that treasure. I think I can relate to that. Love to get rid of my stuff, you know. Especially if it's something better that you're going to have in front of you. That's what they were looking at. They were looking at all the junk that they left behind. They were looking at this priceless treasure in front of them. Yes, it cost them everything that they had, but do you think they missed any of it? No. Because they had something in front of them that was so much better. Relinquishing all of their possessions was a joyous price to pay for such immense wealth. You say, well, what's this immense wealth? I'll give you a hint. It's not stuff. It's not a bigger house and a better car and more stuff. It's much more valuable than that. It is freedom. Not that we might be free to do what we please, but free to serve God and to do what He wants us to do. To live the way He would have us to live, which is the greatest freedom of all. To be used by God in the way He intended to, that's what life is about. That's where you find fulfillment. It means freedom over the power of sin. Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. But the Son can set you free. Just for our own thinking, substitute that word slave with addict. See, we're not a nation of slaves anymore. Oh, we abolished slavery a long time ago. Yeah, but we are a nation of addicts. And I'm sure we can all identify people who are addicted to one thing or another. Well, that person's addicted to alcohol, that person's addicted to drugs, that person's addicted to pornography, whatever. Folks, we're all addicts. Every one of us is addicted to something. And the bottom line is we are addicted to sin. We can't break that. We cannot free ourselves. Someone must free us. That is why Jesus came. Jesus came to free us from the power of sin. He came to free us from the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. That's what our sin deserves. That's what we earn. But Jesus paid that price so that we don't have to. Ultimately, when we get to heaven, we will be free from the very presence of sin. Won't that be wonderful? To not be affected at all by our sin or anybody else's sin for that matter. It means freedom from guilt and shame. And those of you that have lived with guilt and shame know how wonderful it is to be freed from that. It's a horrible burden to bear. And it means freedom to live life the way God intended for us to live. I want to ask you this morning, do you know that kind of freedom today? And tell me, well, we're Americans, of course we're free. That's the same thing the Jews told Jesus. We're Abraham's children. We've never been slaves to anybody. I'm not talking about that kind of freedom. I'm talking about the freedom that only Christ can give. The freedom He paid for with His own blood. The ultimate sacrifice He gave for us. Do we have that kind of freedom? Have we paid the price for that kind of freedom? Abandoning our own agendas. Pledging absolute allegiance to Him. Or are we afraid that if we do that, we're just giving up too much? That's just too much to ask. The price is too high. That's your choice. But don't try to play this game where I'm going to be a Christian, but I'm still going to live however I want. I'm going to go to church when it's convenient, and I'm going to go to church and feel good, and then I'll live my life how I want. God's not going to tell me otherwise. Work that way. I guarantee you, nobody's going to go to an armed forces recruiting center and say, I want to sign up for the military. I want to get military pay. I want to have the government pay for my college someday. I want all the benefits, but I'm not going to boot camp. What do you mean I got to be deployed somewhere else? I want to stay home. What do you mean I can't wear my hair how I want, dress how I want? What do you mean somebody's going to tell me what to do? I don't think so. Think they're going to say, okay, sign up. No, it doesn't work that way. And it doesn't work that way in God's kingdom either. Yes, Jesus paid it all. But not just walk all over the Savior in the process. It costs Jesus everything. It costs us everything. But in the end, it gives us everything. I'd like to conclude with another poem written many years ago, but it still rings true today. Some of you can relate to these words. I sincerely hope that the rest of you will be able to someday, maybe today. The poem is called Treasures. One by one, God took them from me, all the things I valued most, till I was empty-handed, every glittering toy was lost. I walked earth's highway, grieving in my rags and poverty, till I heard His voice inviting, lift your empty hands to me. So I turned my hands toward heaven, and He filled them with a store of His own transcendent riches, till they could contain no more. And at last I comprehended with my stupid mind and dull that God could not pour His riches into hands already full. What are your hands filled with today? What is so important to you today that you can't give it up? You hold on to those things, and I guarantee you God cannot bless you with anything else. If you're holding on to your own way of doing things, if you're holding on to, I'm going to make my decisions, I'm going to live my life and no one's going to tell me what to do, you will have exactly that. But don't expect anything from God. If what you own or the pursuit of what you want to own so consumes you that there's no room for God, don't expect anything from Him. He cannot fill our hands with treasures if they're already full. We have to let it go. We have to let everything go and allow Him to give us everything He wants to give us. You might think that you're free, but without Jesus, there is no freedom. This weekend, we honor those who have given their lives for our freedom as Americans. We echo that call, freedom is not free, as we remember those who paid the ultimate price for our liberty. Just remember, the same is true in the spiritual realm. Freedom isn't free there either. It costs Jesus everything. It costs us everything. But in the end, it gives us everything we could ever imagine, and then some. Are you willing? Are you willing to give it all to get even more? For our invitation hymn, we're going to sing that hymn that I read the words to earlier. It's hymn number 137. Nor silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption, nor riches of earth could have saved my poor soul. What can? The blood of the cross is my only foundation. Is this true for you today? Do you have that freedom that only Christ can give? He paid the ultimate price. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He simply asks for your surrender. If you haven't done that today, you can. You can know freedom like you have never known it before. Simply open your hands, open your heart. Say, Lord, I surrender. We're just going to sing the first verse. If that's your prayer today, I'd like you to join me at the front and say, today, I declare my independence from my old life and all of the stuff that has kept me bound. I want to live free.